Hello and welcome to episode 71 of the Adoption and Fostering Podcast with me, Scott Casson Rennie, and him,
Al Coates.
Yeah, you can smile, Mr. Coates. Idiot.
I feel like a Labrador that's done a whoopsie.
Yeah, on the carpet. Your tail needs to be well between your legs. So basically, just so you know, and we are going to, because it's now very late, but Al, we recorded majority of the podcast that we're about to do again because Al forgot to press record. Silence. Tumbleweed. But the trauma this is causing me, because I'm now going to have to think up funny things again.
Again.
Yes. Well, anyway.
Don't worry.
Al. How are you, Al? I'm asking like I care. I don't really care, but how are you, Al?
I'm really, really well, actually. I'm okay, apart from the current shame that I'm feeling, but I'm good. Doing okay. Yeah, I'm fine.
Glad I'm glad I shamed somebody else today, so that's well done. Thank you.
Yeah. How are you?
Yeah. Tired. Because it's late.
It's late. Don't be bitter. We hadn't gone too far. Let's just cut to the chase.
We hadn't. But the thing is, it loses its originality, doesn't
it?
Yeah, because, you know, we're just like jazz hands.
Jazz hands.
So just to recap on what we did record, but you won't hear because it wasn't recording, was we were thanking everybody from all around the world, whatever country you're in, because we recognise that we don't acknowledge where our listeners come from. So Peru, you mentioned Peru, Barbados, America, Canada,
Lithuania.
New Zealand, Lithuania, so places like that, because
Maldives.
They seriously don't listen to us in the Maldives, do they?
Someone in the Maldives is listening to us.
Okay. Oh, that's a worry.
Or, as you pointed out, their phone has accidentally subscribed and they're just...
I just forgot to
update.
Yeah. But anyway, so we did think we should give you all a mention because tonight we're going to talk about something quite England specific, not just England, because it's happened in Wales, to be fair. Yeah. And we're going to be talking about regionalisation of adoption agencies tonight.
Yeah.
Which Al decided at midday that he wanted to talk about. So he put a tweet out on the Adoption Fostering Podcast, which wasn't really well. He's not having a great day, actually, because there was no tags on it. The tweet was it was just a car crash, actually, perfectly frank.
Hey, I missed the course on media training.
You continue to do it. I just don't understand it. Anyway, it's no wonder my nerves are at me all the time.
Shattered. Frayed, yeah, bless your heart.
Just a man on the edge. Anyway,
is an issue I wanted to do, and we've touched on it in the past, but I thought it was really interesting because there was an evaluation that came out in the end of July about it was an evaluation of the regional adoption agencies, and I thought for whatever reason, we didn't get it scheduled in. I thought it would be, and we've talked about getting guests, but sometimes some kinds of people don't want to come on the show.
Really? Who doesn't want to come on this show?
I know, fools. Getting someone from an official body, and I think social workers are kind of really reluctant. We struggle to get social workers to talk about social work to come on. And I think this is one of those issues where, do you think we'd get ahead of a regional agency?
Yeah, we would. Yeah, I think we would, actually.
Who would we get? Do you know someone? Can you pull some strings?
Yeah, I do. I know a few people, actually.
Are you connected?
Yeah.
Oh, that was sinister. Anyway, well, we can maybe get them on in the future, but I just thought we'd do this now and strike while they're hot, because otherwise it's going to be old news, isn't it? It's going to be old news.
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
All right.
Spit out what you want to talk about, and we'll talk about it.
What I'm really keen is that I thought we'd have a quick overview of how we got to regionalisation on what it actually means for families, but actually looking at some of the... Because this is what the government said. Let me see. I've got it up on my computer. It said... This is in the 2016 Vision for Change that the Conservative government put out. And they said, we are determined radically to design the whole adoption system, delivering new service models through the regional adoption agencies, and that see local authorities and voluntary adoption agencies genuinely working together to deliver excellent adoption services everywhere, with a strong focus on innovation and practice. And that was all set to happen by 2020?
Interesting.
Oh, so even there you know things. Clearly you know things.
Well, I wouldn't say I know things. It's just...
What's
now, bearing in mind...
Street?
No, well, it is, actually. I could mention names, but I won't because I don't want to get them in trouble. But I've been involved in it, as you know, with Adopt a Voice since 2015, Adopt a Voice launched. And then, obviously, this regionalization thing came out, and we were the DfE's service of choice, if that's a thing, I don't know, because they were funding us, and they wanted to work with adopted parents, birth families, and adopted people to be able to develop services in the regional adoption agency, or develop the regional adoption agencies, actually. I can't even remember why I said that now, but so if we think about the date, so 4 years to be able to do this when there has been no pilot of a regional adoption agency. So normally, if you think about the ASF, when the Adoption Support Fund, which is the acronym, yeah, ASF, when that was first launched, it was done on a pilot basis with 10 local authorities to make sure that, you know, there was kind of issues and tweaks ironed out, and it was all, I mean, it's still not smooth it's better than what it was, let's say that, because it's obviously been rolled out with all the it is a lot better. But to begin with, you know, they piloted it, and generally when stuff like this happens, they do pilot it, don't they? They don't just say you've all got to do it and that's it, and it's set in stone and it's tablet and it's taken to, yeah, you know, the higher gods and all that sort of stuff. But with regionalization, that is what happened. It was, we are going to do this, we are going to, you know. And Ed Timpson, love him to bits, met him a couple of times, and, you know, he presented me with my award, so, you know, it was all good.
Oh, you got an award?
You might have an MBE. You might have an MBE. I've got a little award tucked away as well. But my point is that regardless, it was a little bit short-sighted to do it on the basis that you're all going to do this without actually trialing it first, because there's so much trial and error in it. And to say that every agency that becomes, so it, every regional agency that is live by 2020 is going to be innovative and is going to be using best practice, I think is just not achievable.
It's optimistic.
Based on 20, what are we? We're in September 2019. No, it's not. It's not achievable in that scale. So
I guess you've got a year, but can stepping back, well, the next step is, why do you think, why are we doing it? What's the rationale?
Well, I was always told that the rationale was to improve adoption services and also improve the kind of the opportunities for matching, increase the opportunities for matching, I don't know, so to have a larger pool of adoptive parents who were ready to be able to become parents to children or have children placed with them, and also to be able to place children outside of their kind of you know, their home. So as an example, in a city, right, you would want to place a child within the city limits if that child was
there's a hazard or danger, yeah, or exactly, a potential, yeah, risk.
So if you were part of a regional adoption agency, then, you know, you could go outside of the city limits to be able to ensure that that child is safe. So,
do you think that, because I heard, I have a friend who's a friend with a millionaire who's a kind of a, if I said his name, you'd know his name, but I'm not going to say it. And they were discussing adoption and the move to regionalization, and the person who was a businessman, quite well connected, said, this is setting this up for privatization. Do you think that's true?
I have not. Genuinely, I haven't thought that far ahead. I'm a little bit of a kind of optimist when it comes to stuff like that, and think that people are trying to do things for the best.
Mm. Yeah.
But if it goes,
government.
Well, I don't trust any government, to be honest, right now. let's not go near the B word. I mean, I guess we're seeing it in fostering, aren't we? We're seeing, you know, your friend keeps on sharing a lot of stuff about these. Yeah, Mr. Barrow, he's doing the sector proud in terms of, you know,
he's
shaming agencies who are saying, who are part of these private equity firms and making profit out of fostering. And it's not a question I could answer, to be fair. I would like to think that it's not, but
because, you know, I mean on a really pragmatic level, I did some maths before and I thought, actually, so we've got 152 local authorities plus 20 ish voluntary agencies.
Yeah.
And we're boiling that down to whatever it is. I'm going to get a calculator out. So we're boiling that down to 20 local authorities. But if there's 4,000 children adopted every year before we went to regionalization, we would have had, look, do the maths, 4,000 divided by, say, 175. We had 22 children per local authority. And each one of them had a whole, you know, had panels, had all of that infrastructure, had a recruitment teams, had approval teams, had post-adoption support, had a whole range. So on a really pragmatic level, it makes sense to kind of condense that, because it seems like to have a whole service for 20 children in a local authority, that just doesn't make sense to my mind, does it?
No, I don't suppose it does, to be fair.
It sounds really...
It's just... I don't know. I mean, some of them are working really well. Yeah, but these are the established ones. And then some of them are quite new. So it's really difficult to be able to make any comment on anything that's happening out there as well at the moment, because a lot of stuff has gone to the wayside. And, you know, I've sat in various and it's not something I've maybe spoken about too much in the past, but I can now. But, you know, when you sit in a meeting and you've done a number of workshops for the doctors, and they've said that their support's rubbish, their support's this, their support's that, their support's the next thing, and then they're talking about, well, right, okay, so what computer system can we use for these seven local authorities coming together, because we all have to be using the same computer system. And then they say, well, it's going to cost us £750,000, maybe nearly £1 million to work out and then get it and buy it and buy all the licenses, and you think, okay, what is the priority here? Is the priority about helping families, or is it about making these new agencies so they're all singing, all dancing, and they get a better Ofsted report?
But is that the point? Is that you're taking five agencies and you're turning them to one agency, yeah, there's going to be an initial cost, but then are you not going to save money? Is it not? Do you think it's a... saving money has
Does that not bug you? If someone spends £1 million on working out what system they're going to use, when in actual fact they could be working out how we're going to support families better, how we're going to make sure that, you know, children are able to access CAMHS easier, or the virtual school head easier, or does that, you know, you can work towards over time, over 5 years, you can have a plan in place to work towards using one system without it costing £1 million. It doesn't sit well with me, that sort of stuff.
Well, I mean, it's daft money, isn't it, when £1 million could offer an enormous amount of support, but is it a long-term view that you spend money now to save money?
Yeah. I don't know.
So we put out, there's a few things. Some questions came in.
There's always a few things, right, Mr. Colts.
So do you want to read out, have you got the list in front of you? I'll read out the first one from...
Say that again.
Have you got the list of names?
I've got the list. We have got the list.
You've got the emails, yeah.
Friend of the show.
We've got one friend. At least one friend.
It's a new friend. It's a new friend of the show. It's
new friend of the show.
Sandu. So Satwinder,
who's
the CEO of IC. So he said they're a good thing, as was just too many teams doing the same work, but, in capitals, the lack of consistency and formation and remit means some of the old issues will persist. Mm-hmm. I think voluntary adoption agencies should do all recruitment, and regional adoption agencies focus on meeting children's needs fully. And obviously he's speaking from a voluntary adoption agency perspective.
Well, yeah.
You say that's obvious. It might not be to our listeners. Sake. And I think he's got a point, actually, there. That's not an unreasonable point to make, that, you know, you should do what you're good at. I'm not sure.
This is what the government guidance says. To add into that, this is what the government say.
Go on.
Given their long-standing specialist expertise and history of successful innovation and excellence, we want VAAs to lead the way in ensuring practice excellence is at the heart of the move to RAAs, and we will support them to do so. So that's what the government said in 2016.
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, but that was in 2016, wasn't it?
When we were young and happy. That's not what I've...
I don't know if you were young back in...
2016. So do you think Satwinder's got a point that... I mean, he's sort of hinting that that postcode lottery means that all of the... And is that what you're seeing? Because you kind of travel nationally and in the nations. Are you seeing that different RAAs are coming together with different strengths and there's a different quality between them? Is that too strong a word?
No, I'd say that's probably bang on, actually. Yeah.
So we're just perpetuating the postcode lottery of adoption services.
Yeah, and I don't think that's intentional from the agencies that are forming it, in all honesty. But yeah, I think that's probably bang on.
I think that is probably what's going to happen. But do you think there's optimism that, say, three or four local authorities came together as one, and that one has a special, say, they're good at one thing, and there's one is good at another thing. So one's good at recruitment, one's good at post-adoption support. Whatever. Are you seeing that we're rising to a common... Are we falling down to a common denominator, or are we rising up to a better?
I think we're rising up to a better, but I think it's still variable. I really do. So we've got... You know, we've got... God. Oh, I feel like I'm telling tales. But we've got some agencies who didn't start off remembering about adoption support.
Let's just unpack that.
No, please don't.
No, I mean, we're not naming names. We're not shaming.
No, we're not. No, no, you're right. Go on then.
So what's that? Tell me that story.
So essentially, you know, an amazing, amazing partnership came together to create an adoption agency, and that was fantastic. But really, really sadly, that adoption support, whilst it was kind of one of the focuses, it just didn't come into the plans for this agency for the future. And I mean, it has done since, can I just say. I'm not saying that they've just, you know, gone, oh, well, we won't bother doing it. But it just, for someone, for an agency so large to come together and I guess forget is the wrong word, but it was just kind of on the sidelines.
It was
a secondary
issue.
Yeah, it really was.
The issues that so many people have had is that adoption support is an afterthought.
Yeah, yeah, it really was. So it's more about, and this is my thing about adoption agencies, regional adoption agencies, is recruitment seems to be quite important. And I get that it is, don't get me wrong, but it's not just about the recruitment. Because I've said this many times, and I've said it publicly, and I've said it on here, I think, once or twice, if you sort out the back end, so adoption support for children and families, then the recruitment should follow through without it needing massive amounts of kind of marketing, if that makes sense.
That it will speak for itself. The word will get out that if you go there, you're going to be looked after. And it's, I mean, the issue, the idea of a lifelong relationship with post-adoption support.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm not sure that because some of these regional agencies have been formed from kind of statutory agencies, as the majority kind of stakeholder is the statutory agencies, because obviously they have to, you know, it has to be a statutory service, doesn't it? But yeah, it's kind of, it's more about that kind of front end rather than the back end still, even today, you know, and that's difficult to see day in, day out.
Yeah, I mean, I know one authority that I know of, I was speaking to someone who worked in it, and so I'll be careful not to dob them in.
Yeah.
But they were saying that they'd sort of split up the workforce into what was sort of three really basic teams, which is recruitment, assessment, post-adoption support. And within weeks, it became clear that there just was not enough emphasis on post-adoption support.
Yeah.
So the recruiters were all kind of kicking their heels and playing with post-its, and the poor post-adoption support workers were running around like lunatics. And so they've had to rejig that because they just vastly underestimated the need for support.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it might not be that they're not offering it. I mean, that might have been a little bit of an over kind of statement on my part, but certainly it wasn't the priority. The priority was about forming the agency, making sure the staff are okay. And I get all that. Don't get me wrong. I do get all that. But actually, we need to ensure that the families that have been left whilst this regional adoption agency has formed are still fully supported, regardless of what the staff are going through. Because actually, these families, some of these families are in crisis and, you know, they need that support.
And in some ways, if you're in crisis, you're in crisis and you don't care really if your local, if your social workers can't work out where to park the car or something in the new office layout.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant. Which linked into what Rathika27 had said on Twitter, which had said, have yet to have a good experience of letterbox service. The service is understaffed and with presumably more families to cover. Am I in the Southwest. I don't think it's good enough. The system failures put everyone, birth families and adoptive parents, in difficult positions. And I did some maths around this, and I worked out that there's approximately, this is how sad I am, there's approximately 68,000 children under 18 who are adoptees.
Mm.
And if you think, well, each one of them at least will have a letterbox arrangement. Is that?
Yeah.
That's
fair.
Standard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking 68,000 letters annually or biannually between 20 agencies comes out at like 3,400 letters passing through a service each year. So that's actually, and by Royal Mail standards, that's not even a cough. But actually, if you're managing that, making sure the letters get out, making sure they get in time, you know, that's two ways. So potentially that, well, in theory, that could be double that because there's letters going in both directions. All of a sudden, that in my head, I've always thought of a post, you know, letterbox contact as being, oh, it's just a bureaucratic, oh, there's a letter come in, pass it on. But actually, mm-hmm. when you're talking about 6,000 letters through a service,
yeah,
and each, and potentially checked, I mean, letterbox coming back from families, are they checked? Should they be checked? That's a big question.
But I'll point you back to what you said about innovation. There's not been really that much innovation in terms of, and so if you're losing, I'm going to use letterbox contact as a example of that. There's not been too much innovation in terms of working out how we can do letterbox. Well, there has actually.
Who?
There's one VA who's come up with a solution to it, and that's ARC adoption in the Northeast. And it's a secure online kind of function that could fit with letterbox. Letterbox, I hate that word. Oh, God. Anyway, but anyway, it could work for that. And it's basically kind of almost like a life story progress plan that, you know, is online. It's very secure to the point where MI5 can't even, you know, it's MI5 secure kind of thing. So nobody's going to kind of find
it's
out
like
where people live and stuff like that.
File sharing,
but closed for families, and you know what, there's a lot to be said for that one, but equally I'm not seeing too much innovation personally in relation to kind of these contact arrangements, and you and I know that because we've had these discussions on social media.
And Bethneal and all of that, you know, you can look through the podcast and it's a theme that we come back to again and again and
again and again and again and again and again and again, and again.
So that is a concern, isn't it? That, I mean, we did a little Twitter poll, didn't we? What's the results of the Twitter poll? Let me find my.
Oh, yeah.
Did you vote, Scott?
I did.
Where did you tick your box? Can I ask you such an impertinent question at this time?
Well, I'm gonna say this out loud right now, because I was a little bit elusive on Twitter when I was asked a question, but I will say the letterbox is a massive concern for me, given the agency that facilitates that is a regional adoption agency, and it is not being done very well. So my head is still out. The jury is still out in my head, and that's the way it will remain.
Right. Well, this is what the question we asked was: regional adoption agencies. A, is it a good thing? B, is it a bad thing? C, a mixed thing? And D, we should wait and see. So, interestingly, for a long time, not a lot of people said a good thing or a bad thing, and mostly it was a mixed thing. Mm. The results are 9% of people said it's a good thing. That's fair enough.
Okay.
Not a great deal of people.
Social workers?
Yeah. Commissioners. People who do IT.
Love you all. Love you all.
IT people think it's great. 6% said it's a bad thing, which is kind of not a lot. 61% said a mixed thing, good and bad. And 24% said we should wait and see. And I think I put myself in the wait and see. I think, ultimately, I'm not sure it'll make that much difference to me at my stage in adoption.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would say people who think it's a bad thing, maybe wait and see. I would change that to wait and see rather than that's a bad thing, because I don't think it's an absolute all-out bad thing. But I think it needs some... And, you know, we had Mark Orr's on, didn't we, at some point, and he's the boss man, isn't he?
He's the man.
Maybe we need to come back, actually, just kind of see where he thinks regionalisation is at. Because, and challenge him a little bit, maybe, you know?
Yeah, he's really frank and honest.
He is, yeah.
But I'm thinking, I mean, some of the other comments that people put up on the Twitter machine, they said...
The Twitter machine.
Well, a lot of people said not sure. I mean, when I asked this question earlier in the year, people were saying things like, I don't even know. One of the person says, can't see what it is now.
Well, do you know what? We've got a really positive, actually, I'm going to mention this out. So at Warwick Live, our little podcast stalker.
Super fan.
Hello.
Let's call him a super fan. Super fan.
All right, super fan. Yeah, that's better than stalker, isn't it?
And from a legal perspective, I think it's a whole horse.
And we don't want to go down that route again.
Not since the last time.
So at Warwick Live, hello. In my opinion, exclamation mark. I love an exclamation mark. I think Adoption Central England, oh, should I have mentioned them? I don't know. It's better. That's ace. We now seem to have a much better resource to call on. Two things that have particularly impressed me are a peer-to-peer telephone mentoring scheme and a truly excellent young people support group for teenagers. Smiley face. See, now that is a positive story, isn't it, about it?
It is. But the other extreme is MIMJP. I'm not even sure if the LA we're adopted from is even part of an RAA. If it is, they haven't told us. The LA we live in is, I think, but as we don't have contact with them at the moment, I can't be sure. Seems the communication is poor, and I'm going to refer you with the power of, that actually in the Adoption UK barometer, one of the key things was a lot of people didn't know. I was fully informed, this is from the Adoption Barometer, is your LA now part of a regional adoption agency? And how many thousand people was in the Adoption Barometer report?
It was like 3,500, wasn't it?
So 42% said yes, 6% no, and 52%, oh, blimey, that's a number. Room jumps off the page.
Is that what they put on the survey? Blimey, that's
a number. 52% said I don't know.
Yeah, and that would be about right, because I think communication is shoddy, because I don't think it's intentional, be perfectly frank. I mean, I know that when we're all on our knees, and I mean literally on our knees, we think that the world is against us as parents and, you know, as families. But actually, the people who are trying to do their best are so, they're just, they're trying to do everything and basically juggling 50 balls and getting, dropping 20 of them, and communication could be one of them. And I think as well, when you've got employees to worry about as well, there's kind of that element, isn't there, where you've got social workers and admin staff and, whatever else to worry about. When it's there in front of you, you kind of think, oh, okay, well, we've got a team of 10 who are really panicking and really worrying, so we need to sort them out. But that doesn't excuse the fact that there is quite an extreme lack of information coming out of these regional adoption agencies. But there's also a GDPR or a data protection issue as well. And I think that that's what a number of these struggle with, is bringing together all these mailing lists of people to be able to inform them. Because, obviously, once your data is on a database with a local authority, it's shareable, let's face it. But they have to be very careful, and you have to actually be contacted to sign up to some of the kind of updates from these regional adoption agencies. And it's very confusing, very confusing.
Yeah, I mean, the GDPR is new, the General Data Protection Regulations is new. So there's a lot, everyone's kind of terrified of them. We've danced around it a bit at work.
But I hate GDPR.
But on a basic level, if you've got, if three authorities, five authorities have got a list of adopters and adoptees, they send them a letter and saying, we're moving to a central list. Do you still want to be part of it?
Well, exactly. Yeah, especially when it comes to adoption support and letterbox. And
one person I spoke to earlier in the year said that their local authority literally just turned off the phones on a Friday, but no one knew who to ring on a Monday. And it took 2 weeks, which for most people, adoption, we're used to that kind of slow pace, but for some people, that shizzle has hit the fan and they need people. So I think no excuses, and we understand why, but actually, come on.
Sort it,
you map it. So that was one.
There's another, but to be fair, there's somebody who's gone through the approval process with their regional adoption agency. So at @vegan_spirit, and she says, or he says, she or he, apologies.
They have said,
I'm in the approval process with an RAA. It took longer to set the ball rolling as they were finding their newly merged feet. Ooh, that's
cream for that.
Is that webbed? However,
stop. Just move on.
Sorry. Well, listen, I lived in the fence for 12 years. What am I going to say?
I knew you were going to say that.
Everything so far has been smooth, and we have lots of choices as to where we train and have our panel, which are pretty much weekly now. So, you know.
Well, that's what you wanted, isn't it?
But that was part of it, wasn't it? It was about being more central for people. So, you know, they've got lots of choice of where they can train. But will that translate into the post-adoption support piece where, you know, if you are, I don't know, in, let's just use a random piece of geography here. So if you're in South London, and you're part of the agency that reaches up to Northumberland, all right, and the only therapist you can get for a specific therapy is in Northumberland, but you live in London, is that going to make it easier?
You're knackered. But
exactly.
But the geography is, I mean, that's a ridiculous. That is a ridiculous.
I know analogy. It is. I know, but I did say it was ridiculous.
But I will use that analogy because Northumberland is a 2-hour drive top to bottom. If you live in Newcastle, I mean, but that's an issue. That's a rural Northumberland issue. But exactly. I think that was one comment that I'd had from someone saying that actually, when I got the list of potential training topics, it was fantastic. There was a much broader spread. However. Yeah. It was a much broader geography, so actually the one I wanted to do was just the other side of the county, or another county. So swings and roundabouts, just saying I can't get 9:30 across, you know, I can't do 50 miles after the school run. So interesting questions.
Points. No, there's not questions.
There are no questions. What was interesting from the adoption barometer, I think, in the midst of all of that, was generally when you compared all of the different sort of measurable outcomes, there was a comparison. There was almost nothing between the new adoption agencies and the old ones. There was nothing where there was a huge significant jump, which on the one sense encouraged me to think that we haven't just fallen into this disaster, but actually that even at a baseline, and this is probably the most challenging it's going to be, that actually things are okay on a pragmatic level.
I think there will be. I think we have no choice. And bearing in mind, Ofsted will still be evaluating all these services. So, you know, even if they're a newly formed agency, at some point they're still going to have Ofsted come in and tell us what they're made of. And I know that it's been a bit of a journey for Ofsted as well in terms of, you know, them updating some of their kind of inspection kind of bits and pieces. But I think I think they're probably there now. Well, I would hope they're there now, given that, you know, we've got a year to go before this is a proper kind of right. Where every local authority in England is part of an adoption a regional adoption agency. I know of a few that are still kind of fighting it, and I think that's going to be difficult. But they may end up just joining already live regional adoption agencies rather than forming their own. Yeah, they might just, that might happen. But equally, you know, I think there's so much politics in this. It is untrue with local governments, local authorities, and, you know, head services, and, you know, there's a lot of people kind of fighting this battle against, some for, some against, and I don't think it'll ever change that.
Well, yeah, I mean, where we started was that if you've got five agencies, you've got five heads, you've got five deputy team leaders, you've got five the five chair of panels, and you might only need one, which from a financial perspective is great, but actually you might be losing some. And I think that, I can't remember who else I spoke to, someone we know we've had on the show. It might be Bridget Betts made a really interesting comment on Twitter saying one concern she had was that at this time of flux, a lot of the one way of managing that is to say to teams, oh, we're looking for three redundancies, who's going to go? And potentially you will lose the more mature or long serving who will hold kind of some really good practice, knowledge, and experience. So you might strip out. And I was reading, you know, again, I was in Twitter, I was seeing people criticising social workers for being young, which I don't think is fair. I've had some fantastic young social workers and some numpties are old. It doesn't work like that, does it? So I did think that there's a whole raft of things that we're not necessarily sure, because, I mean, I must have said it before, but the adoption used to be seen as the vanguard of social work. It used to be seen as probably the most complex and, you know, tricky work. But actually now it is seen as a safe place to put social workers who are stressed. And it's just not true. That is not the case. I feel sorry for my social worker who's... Actually, she's coming out to see me tomorrow. I've got my post-adoption supporter coming to see me, Ross.
Oh, bless her. She brings the white coat with the straps up the back for you.
No, she brings a cattle prod and a taser.
Oh, okay, cool,
pull me into line, tell me to shut me up, and she's lovely. I had her a long time. She's been, and that's another issue. She's, fortunately, we moved to regionalisation when she's managed to stay with us. But I can't think I'm going to upset anyone, but because she changed, she'd gone from being part of the, one of the, her local authority, my local authority, wasn't being the host local authority. So consequently, she moved job and didn't have our telephone number. She knew where we lived. But she couldn't contact us, and she was wanting to contact us. And she said, well, actually, I can't, other than like just turn up at the house, I can't get in touch. She was waiting for us to contact. So anyway, interesting.
Isn't that funny? Because we've had that comment on the Twitter machine, and at Northumberland_Al. It's a bit of a coincidence there. My old LASWR, social worker, changed hostile contact addresses as she wasn't in the host LA of the RA. So there you go. So that's happened twice in Northumberland by someone called Al. What a coincidence.
It's a small county, but we know everyone.
You just said it takes 2 hours to get from north to south. It's not a
small in the sense it's got it's the least populated county in England. It's got the most castles in England, and it's the biggest in England.
Yeah, well, there you go. You a lot of firsts, a lot of bigs, a lot of smalls, whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
We could go on and on, but maybe we should get a guest.
I think we do need to get Mr. Orr's on, and he won't be listening, so we can say what we like about him. Oh. But he does need to come on because he, I think he champions RAAs, but I think he's totally aware of the fact that there's some, I don't want to use the word issues, but there's some complexities around it. And I think that it must be at least a year since we had him on. So we should get him back for a little bit.
I think he's not politically motivated, so we can trust his voice and that he's not a man banging the drum for the government. Yeah. He's very pragmatic. And also, when last time I saw him, he was talking about a model in one borough that I'd asked him to come on and talk about, which was a, you know, the mockingbird model, a fostering mockingbird model. Are you familiar with that? Mm-hmm. The central kind of family and satellite families, and you know, where the central family isn't, doesn't keep a child, but they act as like parents, and so creates a community. And a similar model was being worked on around adoption, very similar, having respite and having sort of community, generating community. So that sounded really interesting for adoption, because I've been contacted a few times with people sort of getting to me saying, well, how can we build respite into support. And it's just a really tricky issue, because the ASF, the Adoption Support Fund, doesn't pay for that, and I get why it doesn't pay for that, but that is just often what people say is I need a break. I need a break. Well, you are going to be working for Adoption UK for a week or more. Anything exciting you're going to do? Are you going to be sharpening your pencils? Are you going to be...
I've got a week left. I've got a week left.
Just 1 week?
Well, 1 week, 2 days. No, that's 1 week, sad. 1 day, actually. Yeah, and we've obviously got a weekend in there as well, because today is Monday.
Yes.
And on Friday, I fly to Canada for the weekend.
Good
so
stuff.
I've got 2 days leave, 2 days of weekend. So I've actually only got 3 working days left.
You live like a prince.
And to be fair, I've talked to you on the radio about this, Al. 5 years of my life is ending next Wednesday.
You'll be fine. What's the worst that could happen? Are people starting to scavenge over your office belongings?
Oh, I feel like my ribs have been picked up for the meat of them. Oh, to be fair,
heartless
my pencils, people. Even the pens that I collected, you know, when I first started, because obviously we don't get new things, you know, like they've been saying, "Can I have this pen?" Can I?
It's shameful.
It's shameful. But anyway, so we've got a few days left, but we'll be fine. We'll be fine. And I was just going to say, I've forgotten we met last week as well, didn't we?
Well, that was coincidentally fun. I was quite shocked and surprised. We had a right laugh. I'm not sure how it happened. I was doing some training in South London, and then tweeted a picture of me travelling over Tower Bridge, and you said, "Oh."
I sent him a text going, "You're in London. I'm in London. Why aren't we?" Why didn't we know this? We obviously haven't sorted our diaries out to make sure this happens. So we met with a friend of the show, Hugh Thornbury.
Mr. T. What's Hugh up to
now? We had a cup of coffee and a vodka shot. Well, it wasn't a vodka shot, actually. It was water, but it looked like a vodka shot, didn't it?
Yeah.
Or we hoped it was a vodka shot. And then we met a mutual friend, and we sat and had a good old bit of chit-chat. So it was a lovely evening out in London. And it was nice for us to catch up as well, actually, because we don't get spend so much time together these days, because obviously we've been so busy over the summer, haven't we? So.
Separated by the sea.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Anyway, and I was just going to say thank you, everybody, for their feedback on the potential podcast roadshow.
Yes.
Because
why do we want to do that? Because we did.
It's kind of got a bit wild to that one, hasn't it? Well, I think it has, because people are going, "Oh my God, come to us." I don't know if you've had the same, but it's like, "Oh, we can get your room." And so we've had the two that I really want to do is Liverpool and the Midlands, the West Midlands, because I love Liverpool. Liverpool is amazing to go to, and the banter in Liverpool is just fantastic. But I'm still waiting on invites from Wales.
We're not just going to go everywhere we're invited. We'll end up being like a 6-week tour from people's houses and things.
We will, but yeah. I mean, you know, we'll just go wherever we want to go, wouldn't we? But to be fair, why do we want to do it? Is that the question you were going to ask, Al?
Yeah, why? What's the point? It's not just, I mean, it might tickle our ego.
So the point,
we'll enjoy ourselves. Yeah.
No, it's not about that. The point is, and we said a couple of weeks ago, what would you talk about today?
Yes.
After your day today, what is what the features you think will be is... Give us a topic, tell us, and we will discuss it, and we'll open it up to whoever's in the room, and we will discuss it, and we'll discuss it with a little bit of a lighthearted kind of comedy to it, but respecting the kind of people that might be in the room. And I think that, you know, it won't, I'm quite happy for anybody to come along as long as they really want to have a good night.
Yeah.
Just in that kind of nucleus of adoption.
Yeah, and I think we could get all kinds of people come in, and people may want to, I don't know, we'll just...
Special guests.
And ask some questions and have a nice night, even if it's just half a dozen people in a pub.
And you know what would be really nice as well? Social workers to come along. Social workers and professionals, teachers, Senkos, designated teachers, whoever. If you want to come along and you want to kind of just get a little bit of a vibe of what parents are kind of enjoying or not enjoying about adoption, and just get involved in it. And actual fact, kind of not humanize yourself, that sounds wrong, makes you sound like a robot, but, you know, just kind of leave work at the door, come in and enjoy a night with a group of people who all have the same objective, and that is to just kind of work with children and families to make the world a little bit of a better place.
There's
a bit of humour, because we all need a bit of humour. If we don't have humour, we're screwed.
Screwed well and truly. That sounds like a cunning plan then. So we've got a few exciting weeks. We've got a couple of adoptees. We've got foster care stuff. We've got a foster care guy coming. We've got a few exciting guests coming up. So we've got quite an action-packed autumn looking, and probably not much, a bit less talking. You and me, we've done two in a row, which is quite boring. So on that note, well, Scott, I hope you have a fantastic trip to wherever you're going. And don't mention me to the lumberjacks. That's fine. Because that's the mounted police have got my name.
I'm meeting them on Saturday. We're going out. So for those of you who remember, who listened, Mike, my cousin, who is Royal Canadian National Police, and his friend Andrew, who
mounted
is also
police.
Well, yeah, whatever. And they had Alan the Headlock. We must actually retweet that photo, because you must have that somewhere. They had Alan the Headlock at the wedding.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see them, spend some time with them and their wives. I will be the odd one out, because I'm going on my own. Whatever. I'll look forward to an evening with them, and we'll no doubt be discussing Al and his Northumberland ways.
Well, I'm actually climbing Cheviot on Saturday, with Elaine Amy's better half. There you go.
Oh, okay. Yes, yeah. I
might be taking some of our children.
Oh, joyous.
Yes.
Well, you and Elaine Amy's other half, I know her name, because obviously we're friends with her. Yeah. I can't, don't know if she'd like to have her name mentioned on the podcast. No, but
probably not.
Fabulous weekend, like you did last weekend, to that barbecue that I wasn't invited to, or that I couldn't make. I'm not sure which one it was, but whatever.
Man. Well, yeah, we will. And, well, you have a lovely one too. So
I shall.
Okay, bon jovi.
Bon jovi.
And jovi.
Au revoir.
Stupid.
Boy.
Boy.
Not press record.
No, I wasted all of 6 minutes there. I'm recording this.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to tweet that. I am going to have to tweet that. I'm going to have to say the Muppet.
Yes.
That is.
I'll take it.
Mr. Apple forgot to record the podcast.
It's mine. I take it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I had one job.
It's now 10 to 9 now.
Come on, we'll do it.
We should have just done it at 9 and been done with it.
Yeah, but we'd have been doing this at 10 to 10.
True. Oh, for goodness sake, man.
Well,
and I need a wee. Anyway.
Well, I've got one you can have.
It's not a game station, you twit. Oh, dear me.
Oh, wait, come on, do it. We'll make it really snappy. We'll get to the point.